interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 525. And it's just not stopping, folks. As we've been saying here behind the woodshed, it's the new adjustment in the world, the transformation of your life is seemingly out there, but it's right around your neck. And that was proven through the Kobe swindle. And people are starting to come around to it, but I don't see people understanding how they're going to defend themselves from the next thing or the imposition on these same old excuses. The main problem being the local officials did something without having to do their duties, and no one took them behind the woodshed and made that a really public thing. Some of you did that and showed, and immediately you saw they had no authority. So that kind of takes that fire away. But this needed to be a society-wide thing. And when it wasn't, this condition of the weapon they used is going to continue. And we have that evidence here today to show us that it's not stopping. And they're doing the SMART thing, and monitoring is important here. The pandemic may be over, but UK mobile networks are still monitoring population movement. So first of all, that's fraud. There was no pandemic. It was a private organization, foreign to everybody, that declares a private rule called a pandemic based on their arbitrary and capricious determinations and then no underlying basis. So first of all, that's wrong, but they didn't see this. It doesn't matter. Fraud can be used now, and they have everybody's agreed to that. And so they get to come through with the fear-mongering and say, we still need to keep track. And it says here also, public taxpayers will be paying for it. Again, this is leveraged funding for an agenda. Actually, when you look at, if you look through the research back through for what's supposed to be funded, the doors were open to these agenda people coming in and looking in society and saying, oh, the society, there's a need. They pitch it to your local official, and the local official says, then we'll agree to have you on, and we'll budget the money for it. They go to the state level, they get the legislature to budget the money for it. We found this out in 2011, 2012, and that's called, it was leverage funding, and this is what you look for, and you find out that's how they're doing it. So where I start, again, follow the money. It ended up being the truth. But here, pandemic, supposed pandemic, never, nobody in any jurisdiction has a pandemic. They either have an outbreak or the epidemic, and that's the limit of their jurisdiction. Then they're supposed to do things by due process, by legislative mandate to the executive. And none of that happened. And so we're going to get this ongoing, on and on and on. The deal with the BT network operator here will run to April 2025, while the deal with the O2 operator in UK will end after 1 year. The location data from the BT will be used to provide the UKHSA with data on journeys made by rail and road and footfall in suburban and urban areas. The data will be aggregated. The data will be supposedly be used for modeling of the spread of illnesses and help prepare the future public health emergencies and biological and weather incidents. There you see your climate change incorporated and folded into this right here, and what they've predicted they're going to do. They're telling you right here what they're going to do with it. But how did they go through to model? What were they using to verify an illness? Is the same fraud that they never did in the beginning to identify the actual infectious agent despite all the promotion that they had. Remember, it was novel. It was an invention. We're going to find out here as we go through, and as you should already know, this was not a virus. In fact, there is no the virus. In fact, it's a chemical construct, and this is going on and on. There's more and more information. People are looking right past this simple little view about how to identify how the fraud works. And or a lot of people are quiet about it, and it's allowing this stuff to continue. So monitoring movement is in the record, so shouldn't we not be surprised to hear the FDA has just cleared a smart toilet, the SMART, monitoring toilet seat for heart health monitoring. And why just that? Interesting technology anyway, but why just heart health? I think they know what they're causing in people, even though they deny. We just can't know what's going on. Why are people dropping like flies anymore? Over here we have moving, looking and monitoring the movements of people. The Food and Drug Administration has cleared Kasana's heart seat, toilet seat, for use in an home environment to measure heart rate and oxygen saturation in adults at least 22 years of age weighing 90 to 350 pounds. And that was an interesting little distinction. Why only 22? What happens before that? Pretty interesting. Don't know. And just, I guess you're not an adult then to use this seat. But using sensors embedded in the toilet seat, the device is able to measure these vital signs and send the data automatically to the Kasana Cloud. The Kasana Cloud, how nice, how comforting it sounds here. The Kasana Cloud is a private corporation that has your data here. And again, the third-party threat to us is important to keep track. But from there, a designated healthcare provider is able to view the data generated from the three sensors, the palisticardiogram, which measures the mechanical activity of the heart, and electrocardiogram, which measures the electrical activity of the heart, and a photoplethysmogram, which detects blood volume changes. So that's what they've built into this. I guess it's right out of your keister. You can pull all this out, as well as the movements that are going on, and we can then go to the Kasana Cloud and take a, what, did you catch it, folks? Your Obama scare, your Trump scare, your death squad carer, healthcare provider, which is not healthcare. They're sitting there that send the designated healthcare providers, likely the one that the government determines, the bureaucrat putting forth the green agenda that's going to measure and compare your movements with the climate. Again, climate change is not about the weather. But here we go. If you have those that maybe have a lack of movement, maybe not so. This is a kind of a creepy story. They're still checking on once it looks like you're moved on, they're going to keep track of what's going on. The brain in people in comas showed conscious-like brain activity as they died, study says. And this has kind of been a creepy thought. When we have people in comas and we decide to pull their plugs, are they still alive? This one says it may be a 50-50 throw up in the air about it. Potential neurosignatures of consciousness observed in unresponsive patients at time of death, scientists say. The study used the data from our four patients who had died in hospital while their brains were being monitored using EEG recordings because they had previously suffered suspected seizures. All four of the patients were comatose and unresponsive and had been deemed beyond medical help. With their family's permission, life support had been withdrawn and they had subsequently suffered cardiac arrest and died. The scientists retrospectively analyzed the brain activity data in the moments after life support was withdrawn until the patient's death. Upon removal of ventilator support, two of the patients showed an increase in heart rate along with a surge of gamma wave activity, considered the fastest brain activity associated with consciousness. This might correspond to the patients having internally awakened, Borjigin suggested, the study scientist. So, creepiness here, 50-50 here. Two of them had this gamma burst, not radiation, although we don't know that either, but gamma burst, and two didn't. When we're pulling the plug, are we pulling it on someone that's just sitting there waiting for the right event to come back? We don't know. That's the limit of also of our medicine. Maybe it's not medicine. Maybe it is medicine. Maybe it's not healthcare. Potential neurosignatures of consciousness for those with a bit more than a mere potential neurosignature of consciousness we have from this last week to keep track of. I want to bring this back in relative to this, remember they connected this climate change and the movements of people and the movements, and then they even get you moving after you're not moving and you're sitting there comatose and they're still monitoring your movement. Fascinating things that we do, but I wanted to bring this back up for those, again, with a better than a mere potential signature of consciousness. Please go back to last week and understand what I was pointing out through the King Charles coronation. There's a bunch of symbology and rituals going on there. They portend something. This guy is a serious threat in the world. I don't know if people understand his capacity within the world. He's like the largest landowner. Everyone talks about Bill Gates. No, this guy, King Charles now, he's one of the largest landowners in the whole world. And so, and he's in the government of the UK, his government, what he owns, he's the monarch over. The people deny he has power and prerogative power. And that's all mentioned in this article. Something I want to point out to you here, love you read. It's a nice summary, similar summary to what you might have heard in Truth Stream if you found that. I didn't put that link up, but interesting. they were more on the symbology. This is into more of the story, the global Britain, the King Charles Great Reset. This guy is part and parcel to what's been going on. And we can go through and identify that in this story. Very short way to get at it, which I think is important for those of us that don't have a lot of time but need to come up to speed pretty quickly to understand this is not hyperbolic. This is a real threat. These people in the world have been here for a long time. We don't give appreciation, I don't think, through the institutions of the world over time. And I think that when you read enough, you start seeing that they're important, even though, well, the problem is they're real good at what they do, so you don't really see too much of their activity. And that should be the more scary thing. This week, the world was exposed to a disturbing, archaic, bizarre bit of pageantry not seen in over 70 years with the coronation of King Charles III, the head of the global British Commonwealth, head of the Anglican Church, a spokesman for a program dubbed Global Britain that has brought online as the official mandate of the Conservative Party in 2021 for managing a global empire of economic enslavement and having invaded nearly every nation of the earth at one time or another. Britain continues to exert vast control over mining concessions of Africa with over $1 trillion in direct, that's one T, $1 trillion in direct mining interest controlled by British and other British Commonwealth-based corporations. And so there's your corporation. You follow those British corporations and those development corporations of the times past, and you watch the continuation of all this going on. Just want to enter into that. He goes through this discussion. You can see what the subject matter areas that are important, the time, the history that's behind this. We'll go through just a list of these headings here. You can kind of get in, if they pique your interest, definitely get this link and read a little bit about it and see what we're really up against. There's a determination here. The Crown, which is a city of London, it's a whole jurisdiction on its own. It's a whole different thing on top of it all. It's kind of like where the Vatican sits. It's kind of like the way where we'd think the District of Columbia in Washington. Yeah, those can have, if you look at the paperwork behind those, they're really a different beast. And it's almost why they're different beasts, is they run the continuation through history. We have the causal hand of the British intelligence on this. You hear that throughout history and throughout wars, the British intelligence is involved in all kinds of things. Just go look at Ukraine, you'll see them right in there. The Crown agents, it says here, and they show little charts on the reach of this monarchy. The Queen is dead, long live the King. London Bridge is down, where the code words delivered by Queen's private secretary, Edward Young, to high-ranking officials upon the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Even to the point, they're working always through coding, keeping things quiet and covert the whole time. There's also the point where here, an interesting, if we didn't know this, for those of us that don't believe that the Crown has holding, and we'll see how the different commonwealths had their leaders took oaths to the Crown in order to keep their job, essentially. And they are demanded to, although in Kanukistan, I think there was a Quebec, I think it might have been, or maybe Ottawa, maybe just down to a city, if I have that correct, it decided not to take their oaths. I don't know how that turned out, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but they're even in the news again about breaking away. I didn't get to that story to bring it up. There's just so much to get at. But here we have the monarch, leaders of these Commonwealth countries all taking the oath to the Crown. Also here you see, you can go quickly through, that 6.6 billion acres, world's largest property owner is what they call Prince Charles here, and I think he's now been crowned. The prerogative powers are real. That was an interesting thing that people just seem to deny. These are real, these powers, they sit there. He does not enact. It's the best thing to do to not be the active member, and this was the best, like I think Machiavelli pointed this out. You have your henchmen do it. You don't do a thing that looks bad so that no one takes you down. The prince is what that's the whole point. The leader does not put himself at risk at all. He's always going to have something else. We can just look at that practice really well at the Vatican, as I was bringing up the Jesuits last week, although there's also the schism inside that religious corporation as well. In this article mentions the King Charles and the Great Reset, and this is an important point in connection to this global thing that's going on relative to the war against us. It's another way I can tell early on this is a war. We're not just in not the DOD necessarily, just the DOD, but that this is a war against people. These people speak in these terms, and you're going to hear another tab coming. You're going to hear this guy speak in those terms relative to being in military campaigns to fight this eco-warrior king of a new crusade. This is probably the biggest threat to us, where you see this identification of an eco-warrior. this guy's really leading a lot of this. Periodically, he comes out to let you know that you got to take that to mean something. He's just not a spokesman just out there. This guy's too connected to not be part of it. And then this article also goes through in the historic part of this, the Nazi roots house of Saxe-Coburg, Gotha, explaining, again, the potential affiliations here. And I say potential, only I want you to prove these out for yourself. Don't take this article. Get a background of information so you know what you're dealing with if you're going to consider this angle. Who may be the influence, the decision makers behind the scenes? And to keep track of that, you don't have to like know more than to watch. And are they being consistent is the main thing, while you're looking locally to figure out how to subvert what those people that are being influenced by, let's say, but something like the king, to implement your destruction locally. Or as I was trying to point out, globally through the so-called pandemic, this fraud, this COVID swindle. Beyond the film, the more Nazi roots of Windsor. And I think people who do the study and have already read this know this is the truth. But if you haven't, get yourself a good solid background to understand this is the interesting order. Understand what we're talking about here. Why the UK may be supporting Ukraine so vehemently, despite the view of our World War II thing. And then the incongruity between what's going on against what was the Soviets then, Russia now, and the Soviets losing 26 million people to do what was stated the World War II West was trying to do, which was to end the Nazi regime. In fact, it looked like it imported it into the United States. And it looks like I can say the Fourth Reich, but it's almost like a Fifth Reich relative to what's going on. So watch how this is all working. Look at how they talk about how the people, the players, they're all in on today in these various commonwealths, moving the point through the crown as the key to the continuity of empire. Again, you have to have that figurehead and again, these rituals coming together to keep everybody in tow in a way. And yet, that's not frivolous. It's not just, we can send out. These are the foundation of authority in our world. So I went through a little bit long here on to go even through the headings on this, but this King Charles and relative to why the UK would be doing the pandemic, so-called pandemic monitoring and the condition that they're going on and what they're doing is a war against people, and King Charles now is in that position to make those decisions much more openly adherent to those principles than the Queen was before him. Prince Charles calls for military-style campaign to fight climate change. If you think this was a joke, this guy is deadly serious. And that means to you, and we saw that in the UK condition, they tie the environment, essentially the weather, to the people's movement around to try and get a correlation, which essentially modeling AI, machine models will be contributing to, if not actually deciding. Climate change can only be defeated with a military-style campaign and could dwarf the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, Prince Charles says. This is written right before he was coronated king, which puts him in a whole new decision-making power. Britain's the next king called for a new Marshall-like plan. Folks, you got to learn the history of this and how this thing worked through, what the Marshall Plan actually did, and apply it to the world. This is really a bit of scary the way that's been working because the control that's come through that no one questions. It's just now being questioned all these years later, and we're finding again, death and destruction behind something like this, even though it comes out like a good thing. But a Marshall Plan military operation referencing $12 billion in funding injected into Western Europe by the U.S. to rebuild after World War II. Now these words, the numbers are in trillions now, and the taxpayers are going to pay for it, as we saw the monitoring. He's pre-recorded words here, the keynote's address for the opening of Climate Week New York, NYC in New York today, the only major summit on the issue scheduled this year. The heir to the British throne said the climate change is now rapidly becoming a comprehensive catastrophe that will dwarf the impact of the pandemic. At this late stage, I can see no other way forward but to call for a Marshall-like plan for nature, people, and planet. He added, we must now put ourselves on a warlike footing approaching our action for the perspective of a military-style campaign. How many times are you going to mention military here? This is the only way you're going to push things forward is by force. overt or covert. So this guy is nobody to take lightly relative to his intention. This is before he got going. And anybody who reads about this guy much understands that his close ties and control leading, actually, this thing, even though he's been apparently behind the scenes. He can't be behind the scenes now, but he's been now letting people know what his regime is going to do on the world. You notice here he says nature and planet. I don't see the difference. So he's only talking nature, people, and planet. People and planet are conjunctive. And so you're conditioned, your people are conditioned by the needs of the planet. And they talk about this over and over and all the stuff I've been talking about relative to what we call sustainable development. And it's offshoot to Agenda 2030, which is the economic control of your life. And how they do that is the monitoring, and now they're going to get the monitoring once they get you into a digital currency. Gob of tabs, I can't talk about this broadcast, I'm not going to touch those, but there was a whole lot of more control and monitoring going on as we move the CDC nonsense forward, and it's moving forward. I don't know what else more to say. Again, there's so much to touch and so much to cover, to try to bring consistently to you. This is not some idea, it's some joke. This is actually moving in the world, and we're not going to be better for it. And, well, I haven't found anybody to explain to me how we're going to be better for it. In fact, we're going to find out the people that are in place moving forward, and people being supported by them, even in the United States, are moving forward to take out the very production that we need. Understand, it says Prince Charles and the corporation he has is mining. That's production. They control that. It occurred to me after I read that, that's partly why miners in the United States are getting thrashed by the agencies, because the miner, the independent miner, is a threat. They're their own production. And if that's a direct contradiction to what the crown would need on a global size scale, even though they're controlling, they want to make sure that there's no competition. This is a different level. So then we move on and see, what does this war mean to us? And it comes out in the news. You almost think this stuff is a joke, but it's not. This is a really people, and they're going to consistently hurt you and intend to hurt you. Bloomberg News, South Africa beats climate goal as blackout slash emissions. Unintentionally, they say. Power plant breakdowns are reducing industrial activity. Well, this is not much more than we saw with the so-called COVID swindle, where societies shut down and the CO2 stopped being produced on any levels, and guess what? The levels still went up, remember? So all this, you got to understand, all this has a context, and it doesn't match what they're saying, but this is the promotion. And what they're saying is that because South Africa can't keep up in this story, that South Africa can't keep up with the breakdowns that are going on their coal-fired power plants, it's reducing their CO2s. And they're having to have blackouts because the coal-fired plants aren't producing. And so they're meeting their global warming goals. They're beating them. They're now rising to this top of being the paramount nation in the world that are leading the charge. They claim it's unintentional. I suppose it might be. But what you'll notice as you read this story that they did this. They're doing this to gain $6.8 billion, I think the number was, dollars from the West in order to implement these climate change impositions. Their people are without power, and their industries are not going to survive. And you start seeing the control there. And they're willing to do it. These officials are willing to do this against their own people. They're claiming this, again, this is unintentional. They can always use that as a plausible deniability. They also come back and say, but the power plants don't make that much anyway. Well, they make some. And this becomes the other thing. The government is derelict to provide for the people. It's not about that. So when you see the crown and the West promoting bribes and these officials taking it under the color that they're helping something, you're watching the mechanism of how you take down peoples everywhere. You can read that story. I just want to bring out, this is not it's happening right before our eyes, the destruction of nations. I can't look at this and see that almost everything going on is not a plan. They make it sound like it's not, but we can see the evidence that it is a plan. And what's the other thing going on? They start to take out people, they take out heat, and that caused me to think, what about they're going on, they go the other way, back to Britain, back to the UK, back into Europe. Going into this winter, they were saying, people were going to be, you got to be 66 degrees, we're not going to have no power, you can't afford it, more importantly for that. not in Africa. You can't afford it. Well, you can't when you don't. You just can't buy it. It's not available. We're going to blackout. So remind you, the United States has been given the utilities the ability to have rolling blackouts. They admit that's austerity. They admit you're not going to have the power. That's the public-private partnership giving power to the private to cut you out. A blackout is nothing more than austerity. And they can determine that. The United States, they don't even use the cover that they have a power plant that they need to fix. But what's causing this cold temperature? I'd say, well, how are people going to survive? I mean, you get there 66 degrees. I don't know if anybody's experimented, but that's not a very comfortable temperature, especially if you have a little bit of, lung issues. Just the same thing that they fomented for the COVID swindle. Piggyback. Well, British, there's no, back to the UK here about that. Well, if you're in Africa where it may be warmer, South Africa, I don't know how much warmer it is down there when you don't have power and you don't have heat. Well, in Britain, they were just shut off. You couldn't even afford it. What do we have here? What do we see? How Britons are dying in their tens of thousands, but no one knows why. Well, just from the standpoint that if you can't have the heat, you're going to have, and you have comorbidities, you're going to have problems right there, but they don't know why is the other thing. And we know, we can kind of tell maybe why, but guess what this story does? As they attempt to kind of dissuade us from focusing in on something, the fact is that these deaths in tens of thousands, 32,441 excessive deaths in England and Wales from May to December of last year, these deaths excluded those from COVID. The shock revelation has raised alarm bells amid health professionals. Okay, but this is all predictable. Now let's just give them a little bit of thing. They talk about the COVID pandemic again. But how did they determine that it was not COVID? But COVID's only what? That's the coronavirus. COVID-19 would be that set of flu-like symptoms. We're not talking about SARS-CoV-2 and all that stuff. We're only talking about the symptoms. How do you die from symptoms is the problem here. How did you die from something that they never identified? None of these healthcare professionals stepped up and said, wait a minute, there's a procedure here before we move too far too fast. Combined with the fact that the Brits here were under stress, everybody is, but this is the data from the UK, under stress, moving into fall, moving in, and those the determination that you're not going to afford power, we had a combination of things going on. They say these deaths are in excess of the COVID swindle. Well, we know that they're not even talking about the jab and its counter effects. They talk about the COVID spike death figures. They exclude those. How did they know that they were spike death figures? This story is kind of interesting to look through and parse through these numbers in the denial that they don't know what's going on. I just want to point out that this is whether you can say that the jab did it, the cold did it, the stress is doing it, the lack of food, or possibly, I don't know what the Brits are doing, keeping up or not. There's a whole lot of stuff that was caused by the COVID swindle. And it's so much that they can say, plausibly, we don't know what's causing it. People are just dying more. Understand, you Brits, you're dying more. Globally, you're dying more. And that fits what they need done relative to what the king wants now. And all his henchmen throughout the world. All those ambassadors of global warming, climate change, sustainable development, or more importantly, to the agenda, the digital gulag. Doing what? Adjusting your behavior. So with this exclusion of COVID and COVID-19, never speaking to the cause because they never could do it, they never could identify it, an interesting story popped up. They call a leaked Pentagon report forensically dismantles Fauci-led natural origin study. I find these stories interesting. They keep popping up, and my view is that they are popping up in order to continue a narrative, and it certainly must be false. The way I can see, the way I look at this, it's a false one, but they got to keep it going for those that haven't decided it's false or seen that it is false, nor do they take the time to analyze what it could do. And I think we see the evidence here of the hand behind the hand running a front story that actually, if you look behind it, says something else, points to something else, because it nobody on this story comes to a determination at all, actually. The leaked Pentagon report, okay, we got back to the Pentagon. How do we get to the Pentagon looking at this? If it was real, if they didn't think that this was that they were running an op, or that they didn't think this was an op being run on the world, on the United States as a national security look, Why is the Pentagon even doing a report on this? But we have here researchers of the Department of Defense wrote in a devastating takedown, it says here, of a proximal origin study, which was all used by Dr. Anthony Fauci as proof the COVID-19 virus had come from nature. The takedown, dated May 26, 2020, was written in the form of a working paper called, quote, Critical Analysis of Anderson et al., The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, close quote. It was authored by Commander Jean-Paul Chrétien, a Navy doctor working at the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. Yeah. Dr. Robert Kulip, a research scientist at the Defense and Intelligence Agency. The paper came to light on May 15th when it was leaked to the public via virus origin search group Drastic. I'll read that off. And the working paper forensically dismantles the natural origin case made by the proximal origin paper. I'm going to stop. You can read all the how this works. They got good bulbs here to read through real quick. But I want to point out something, and you need to do this as well. Get the document, download the takedown of it, download the doc, the study, and read them both. They're not actually that long. Pay attention. Read very carefully. Understand what you're reading for and really start parsing what really exists and what doesn't. And I'm going to give you my summary of this. Maybe you can maybe match it up or find out something different. I'm not going to say this is the entirety exhaustive, but I'm going to say this is what I came away with. I think it's essentially at the very end, or the last sentence, I think, called me my attention to what my thoughts were leading me to, and I think, okay, that's going to be the good way to go. I want you to, I'm saying these papers show that they admit to a synthetic origin as stated. Anderson et al. Didn't sufficiently destroy hashtag there is no test. So China could be plausible fall guy for lab origin claim despite U.S. labs involved NC 2002 and 2003 CDC patent. Lab made spike protein is no virus. Hashtag there is no the virus. Op hindsight 2020. The hashtag I started creating for this situation in 2019 to 20, I think it was the first week I finally posted it, was the January of 2020. What you're going to, I hope you would see, and again, there's all a lot to see in this, but I think that what you're seeing here is that the Anderson paper was supposed to bring over and prove a natural origins, and it didn't quite do it. And this is the Pentagon looking in saying, we have a condition here that paper didn't do, we can still plausibly blame China. When you find out what they're doing, they talk about synthetic everything. Everything is lab-made, as I've been saying it is. They can't find any natural origin, and I say because it doesn't exist. There is no virus either. They talk about what they're doing as well in the so-called takedown. What I think this is the analysis that the Anderson paper wasn't sufficient to make the claim, and it doesn't persuade better about the lab origins. They want, this analysis says we can still plausibly use the lab origin. It wasn't destroyed by Anderson. But when you see North Carolina University involved, you start understanding the depth of the United States involvement. That was done in 2002, you heard me say. They mentioned that in the so-called takedown. They're pointing out how the Anderson group didn't observe certain limitations, and they made assumptions that they ought not have made if it was a scientific paper. That's the takedown part. My point is that the military is looking at it to use it to continue the plausibility that the United States government can claim it was China lab origin. When you look, you'll see that's all lab origin from everywhere. And then we know the 2003 CDC patent came from some of the work of the North Carolina University of 2002. So I want to point this out. Very interesting that it keeps coming up. I think this is a little bit different interpretation than I think they're trying to send out. Everyone wants to point out Fauci. Yeah, he had a hand in it, but he wasn't the authority. And he wasn't driving this either. This was a front that was put together in order to keep people confused, I suppose. And it took a little bit of research. You heard me doing that in the beginning of the run-up, up until March, to try to come to terms with what are we dealing with. It's not like I was a biological expert about all this at all, but there was enough information to track down pretty quickly over that time to start figuring out what was going on. and now we hear people all talking about the run-on effects, but no one's addressing the fraud up front and how it should have been stopped, as I've been consistently attempting to do, putting it through Twitter as this was read to show that this was an ongoing op. The DOD is involved. They're looking to make sure that they can plausibly keep fingering China, and that keeps everybody from finding out that everybody, all labs were doing this work. Everywhere. All the labs, all the bio labs are doing this type of work. And it's interesting to read the so-called takedown. They explain the outlying information that couldn't be known that they could use. In other words, when there's a scientific, you take an assumption, it opens the door to go ahead and continue the lie, essentially, and to get people to believe certain things because it's not provable. And you'll read in there, there's none of this has been provable, just as I've been saying. There is no test. Literally, there's just no availability. They're all synthetic, and that's the limit. That's where you can prove it. But when you're looking at what's been created in the lab, which is patentable, it can be found. As I said, when they use the jab, they'll be able to find the substance they made. It won't be a natural origin, which they agree. There's no way to find the natural origin. Oh, there's been lots of labs trying, bringing it together. They tell you what they've been doing, but they haven't come to anything, which in a way is a bit of a relief. They had to go to a chemical analog. And what you're going to notice is it's not a virus. Look very carefully. It's not a virus that they're making. They claim to be making these hybrid situations, but what they're making is actually the active part, which is that spike protein or things like the spike protein. That was more like that venom thing that I found out was going on. They're synthesizing the active poison part, the venomous part. So look very carefully at this. I'm talking a little bit of time here. This is an analysis on even the DOD's looking in to see how much more they can use this situation in order to foment pointing the finger at China, while the North Carolina and all the other labs that the DOD through DARPA and whatever all else they were doing, the Pentagon was doing through their contracts and setting them up, were setting them up to do in their labs. When we have then, here's the other thing that, again, it's almost a joke if it wasn't so deadly, and where it looks like it's taking the societies around the earth globally here. The infection with common cold coronaviruses can trigger broad cross-immunity against SARS-CoV-2 proteins. A very interesting observation. I don't even really want to say too much more than, you think so? Again, coronavirus is just a common cold. If anything is looking like a common cold, the body is going to build an immunity to it. Here's a study that shows that's the case. And they're saying it's a cross-immunity against SARS-CoV-2 proteins. Look very carefully. This is not a virus. This is the protein. They're admitting these are parts of what they thought a virus was. These are the active parts. And yet your body, the miracle that our immune system is, it's able to build defenses. And what was the big deal? Just to limit our symptoms so we wouldn't burden the hospital. Remember that little trick? And so they've fabricated a bunch of things to make it look like the hospitals were under demand. And so that gave a plausible ability for this court to say, oh, well, we have a public interest. All fabricated. And the courts were in on it. Remember, the sustainable development is promoted by the Bar Association, its members, which go all the way up in through the Supreme Court, which in states have rules that follow the Bar Association's rule and ethics, which really is none compared to where the king wants everything to go. Infection with common cold coronavirus can trigger broad cross immunity, but it doesn't stop you, right? Because the seasonal coronavirus, as seasonal influenza, mutates itself, variants all the time, as it adjusts, and our bodies continue to adjust through our lives, and it keeps us varying. Disabilities come along relative to each type, and next year we don't quite get it so much. So we have a natural immunity thing. Here's another study, all this time and late, that has a crossover effect. Well, I'm hoping so, because a lot of people are being hurt on those comorbidities, aren't they? So be careful that we don't say, our body will protect us against an instruction set that starts building so many more spike proteins than our body can handle, and then weakens that weak link in our body, the comorbidity that we may or may not know about, that it may be what's causing the Brits to die off in the tens of thousands. And that's not the only place. That's just the latest numbers. They're dying off all over the place, it seems. And to support, again, the issue and statement that there is no the virus, at least from the legal side for sure, and not and because the science hasn't actually provided. Very interesting report coming up out of Germany. There's been some pushing back right now relative to, as I've been saying, you need to challenge the officials didn't do what they did. It's an interesting way to get at the same question. Here we have a report that would suggest, again, that there is no virus, and they're only using the synthesized part. Marvin Haberland shares results of his court case against virology in Germany. Very interesting case. Apparently in Germany you could get fined for not doing certain things relative to the so-called COVID virus, and there was challenges made, and this is a gentleman who made a challenge, and you have to understand what he didn't have an attorney, so as we go through this, he got his case dismissed as he set up a legal defense that said that the charging officer had no knowledge of a virus in order for them to know that he was in violation of the code for whatever the fines were for. And through the machinations of judicial corruptions, this case gets dismissed because they don't want to make the orders that would show that the whole government can't, there's nobody in the government that can do this, that there is no virological evidence of the existence of any virus. Fascinating, right? So another way to get at it. In short, I'll read here, our press spokesman Marvin Haberland won the trial as expected, in which the court dropped the case and paid the costs. And this was what caused me a little bit of confusion. They dropped the case because he was sitting against the violation and fine that he was a defendant against. He was said to be the criminal. And this is a defense. His defense was the officer had no probable cause. She can't determine in this case, it was a woman, could not determine that there was a virus. The subtleties of this are a big win. They're a big win on the defensive side. In other words, you had to be charged by the government and face the music, if you will, in order to sing your song and say, hey, you don't have the virus to charge me with. They went to trial without a lawyer, so you can do it yourself, as I've been suggesting you should be able to. But he sees the same thing globally as we find around the world. No lawyer wanted to defend us by supporting our strategy. Thus, we had no legal fees either, so it can be done without all that. And that was the point. You don't find an attorney that will do the right argument, what I've been saying forever about this. In fact, what I've found in attorneys on the points of law that are before the usurpation of your life, that are preserved in savings clauses, they do not understand any of those prior rights, those prior properties, those antecedent things. They do not argue any of that. They never will. Same thing here. They got it over in Germany. Doesn't matter as long as there's a so-called rule of law and democracy, they understand how to defeat us. And so you see the same outcome, that no lawyer wanted to defend you. And I've got it in the United States. Plenty of people go to lawyers with look like clear-cut cases on fundamental rights abuses, and the lawyers will not pick them up. And if they do, they make the wrong arguments. It seems like 100% of the time. Not even a shred of a right argument. And so then we go on here to the next. Our strategy is direct and clear. It aims to clarify the lack of science in virology in court, since paragraph 1 of the Infectious Protection Act requires it. That's exactly what I've been saying, going through this other avenue by a defense. You challenge the ability of the authority to make the citation. Through what? Their Infectious Protection Act. That would be what I call we see in the States as the communicable disease law. They are duties. So for our problem in the United States, it was that we weren't being attacked by the system. We weren't facing those fines. That's why we couldn't use this direction, but this is the same defense. The same thing. What I had to do, had you guys, all y'all that did, move ahead of the point to make the record to say they didn't comply with their Infectious Protection Act, would be the same thing as saying you didn't do the duties underneath the communicable disease. And then they go on to say one last little thing I'll cover here. We have thus shown that the measures based on an imaginary virus are not justifiable and not tenable. And that was done simply challenging the charging officer with the knowledge of the virus itself. And you'll hear, if you get this link, you'll hear how that went. Very interesting to listen through and see what they did, see the rigmarole that went on, see what the judge did, the fancy pants dance to not make a decision, would not make a decision, made it a convoluted statement that it wouldn't matter when in fact it actually does. And at some point you just kind of take your win and move on, but this is what you're facing. I talk about this stuff. I don't just tell you the news here. This is about notice to us on what to expect, and I'm saying it's not ended. These things, and the way this works in about every subject matter. The courts are this corrupt in every subject matter that you come on point, and that's where we get the bad view. And who's the guy behind the woodshed talks so much, but he'll lose. He'll have a court case that'll lose. Well, it's because of this corruption. We're not really losing. It's why I've changed what I've done since 2011. We move into equity side attacks, collateral attacks, so that we work in equity time, not through the process of the courts. Some of you who read about equity and what that does, and you look at the time scale and the rules, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's supposed to be done in days, just days, as a collateral attack. It works as similar as this. The courts will not or cannot actually address it, and they won't. And so you don't get the type of decision that you need, and you have to understand that. So there's no justice at this point. What we can do is avoid having to pay the fine. We have to go through the imposition. We have to go through the fire, if you will. But when you go through the fire, you find out what they're doing is alleging fraud. They can't back up their probable cause. They can't back it up by objective basis. And that's all I'm suggesting people identify for themselves in any subject matter. Find your objective basis and go through that. Make a simple case of it. Don't go on and on. The simple action here was challenge the officer for the knowledge pursuant to the act that said so, to the knowledge of a virus that the defendant could be violating. Pretty simple. There is no the virus, folks. In this case in Germany, they will not go through the process of telling you that. They'll just dismiss the case. And you just have to be good enough with that. As we move into and we keep inventing the endless diseases, they just throw this stuff out there, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist to make people sick. I'm saying this gets the seed dropping that maybe you can be affected somewhere in your locale by something similar. Correct? In fact, I think the United States has just uncovered its first ringworm case that cannot be killed by the medication that they've been given. So this is another seed drop. I didn't bring that one up. But here, let's go across the world about these virulent, damaging, killing type of organisms, because that gets people's attention. Mysterious disease kills 9 in Kenya. More than 80 others are bedridden as a team of surveillance experts and laboratory technologists work to identify the illness. Here we have again the same setup for COVID swindle. The illness is a set of symptoms. They haven't identified the source that claim that they're working, but you saw through epidemiology, cooking the books, how they invent the source. What if we also now see, what if this was an invented chimeric situation? They don't know what they're dealing with, and they say they don't have it, but they haven't given the people who made it, didn't give the people who are looking at it the keys to the kingdom to identify it, the animal kingdom, which is really more an identifiable synthesized matter. Which is that so-called takedown by the DOD tells us that they can analyze for how it's constructed. They know that it's constructed. Just like I was saying, once it comes out in the jab, they'll be able to find that. And so we can't necessarily challenge that the PCR would be bad at that point if they have the exact substance that they're looking for. They know what to look for now. That was the thing about the isolation. They never did it before. You see that all in the takedown. They explain all this stuff. It's pretty cool that way. So read about it and understand what they could have been doing that they knew way back when that they didn't. And understand the DOD then continues to point out and let people point out that a China lab did it. In fact, all labs have to do it. They did it. Labs around the world were doing this thing. Mysterious disease now. This is the scary part about this. This is now for the disease first reported 2 weeks ago. Is suspected to be a form of violent malaria based on a preliminary investigation by health officials. Symptoms reported include flu-like illness, yellow eyes, severe headaches, and a swollen spleen, with one victim exhibiting signs similar to Kalazar, a type of visceral leishmaniasis. And I know I butchered that, but so they understand that there's the symptoms, and they're trying to identify the cause, and they haven't quite done it yet, but this is a violent malaria. Okay, so let's go over and find out, does the CDC have anything to do with this place? like we found in Sudan? Well, sure enough. Go to their website, cdc.gov, conducting research and monitoring and evaluation. Since 1979, folks, over the past 35 years, CDC has partnered with Kenya Medical Research Institute to build a comprehensive research platform, which includes research on HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, emerging infections, and neglected the tropical diseases and other public health issues. The platform is well equipped to test new diagnostics, vaccine candidates, and new treatment regimes. So they're into developing, remember that DOD DARPA platform they're talking about creating in order to impose these things, and they're doing testing of new diagnostics. So understand and read between the lines here. This is just another biolab that could have very well created these things, and they're just testing what's going on. We don't know. I'm not saying that they are, but the violent malaria now, they can't figure it out what it is. They guess it's that. And then you see all the same crumbs everywhere with the CDC, United States Biological Labs, and military Pentagon Biological Labs, and all these places, and we have outbreaks. I don't think it's a coincidence without a meaning. I think it means something. And for us, it means that these folks, the CDC, is still involved. The global condition is still involved there to kill people, to see and use it, perception management, to get our compliance as they're working so hard to stop these killer diseases. In fact, they may be being made, and it may not be the symptoms, I should say, the killer diseases are the symptoms. They'd be actually making the venoms that are causing these responses in your immune system. They're not the viruses. They're the active parts of what they think a virus is, because there is no test for a virus. They haven't found, as Germany, that case was not the only one. I think there's three other cases in Germany just like it. So they're making that precedent that there is no knowledge that there is a virus. And that is not by their opinion. That is by what? These gentlemen went by their local communicable disease law. They have a different name for it. And there is prerequisite actions and duties, obligations by the government to have to do, none of which was done. Certainly not by the cop in the street, right? So another Kenyan here, as we move in, trying continuity through the broadcast, another Kenyan here, a citizen of Kenyan, I understand, Obama laments American separate realities. The former U.S. president has argued that a splintered media has left people too divided to see the same facts. What's fascinating about this, today, he says, what I'm most concerned about is the fact that because the splintering of the media, we almost occupy different realities. So what he's advocating is a unified media, one voice. He doesn't want journalism. Right off the bat, we're going to have a problem. But remember, he's pretty much the one that started the division. In all his nice and flashy and words in the beginning of what, like before he was even starting to be a candidate. I said, this guy's too flashy. He's got it all as far as the promotion to people. They're going to eat this up. And sure enough, you saw how it happened, and he turned out to be what? His own divisive example. How much more hypocritic is this condition? How much is this problem developed within him himself being Obama? I'm talking bombs. The drone king, remember? Getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Talk about divisive. Talk about being the example of divisive. This is the example. He is the example of that. And so we're watching the Democrats, which I think he's playing a part behind the scenes. Their whole view in this is trying to cause that unity to come together. They don't want the media to be distinct and different. They don't want journalists to have their own opinion, and they don't want their journalism to be, the output of that, to be based on an independent thought and investigative reporting. And you see that it's not. I mean, it's just, I don't know what else to say. Maybe a Seymour Hersh still, but not very many more. So we have, from the Kenyan, if I understand correctly, the complaint that we're divisive because our media is not singularly voicing the point, but that's a lie too, isn't it? We already know that's all been confined, and they all pretty much sing the praises of where the, if you will, the deep state, those behind the scenes, that we're finding out here now, more and more evidence coming out, the control systems that are behind this, many control systems, the reins upon the information you get are vast, and they cause that division. And this guy, Obama scare, moving the cradle to grave like Hitlery, moving everything into this future world of control. They only want one voice coming out for you to receive. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I hope not. I see people doing that to themselves, actually. I'm going to get a little bit to this, but we have the same players on the field still bringing forth. They're in the news, and they're complaining about certain things, and they're the cause of those things. As we see here, and I keep bringing this guy up because he's still hanging around, and he's influential. And if he wasn't hanging around for all this time, all my life, and it's still influential, I probably wouldn't mention it. But it's very interesting that Kissinger's back up in the news. Again, another one of these players, these influencers in the world. AI could affect possible World War III, supercharged China-U.S. conflict, says Kissinger. Now, what caught my eye on this is that he says, we are at the beginning of a capability where machines could impose global pestilence and other pandemics, not just nuclear, but any field of human destruction, he said. And I need to ask, is that true? Is it true that AI, machines, would impose global pestilence or other pandemics? Just think about that. This is an admission that you're giving over to a machine, the decisions that man needs to make. And so it fails on its face right there. It also fails because it brings up pandemics, because those are not jurisdictional. He also fails because he mentions human. And those of you that have done any study realize that word wasn't invented, it wasn't created, it didn't exist until, I think, after 1400s. It's what I identified for myself, wanted to know why the law said mankind, and yet we get into this sustainable crowd and they go human, because they're humanists. Well, human in 1400 or so correlate, it was created, I think, out of the church at the time. Same people, same organization we were talking about last week, and I periodically expose as best as I can with the time I have relative to their contribution to this global destruction and the future they want. So Kissinger comes in. Remember, he helped China become what it is today. And also understand that China came on and said they want to do sustainability. And I'm going to show you, if I get to the very end, it's also over in Russia. So he's talking about China and Russia and coming to this story, which he starts out with, that then goes to AI being the imposer of these things. It is a very fascinating seed drop from a guy that may very well be, he should be moving out of relevance, but he's still in the promotion, right? So this guy, he's showing us, he's promoting what is going on. But I ask the question, could a machine impose global pestilence or other pandemics? Is a concession that a machine will run the world, something, some kind of a machine runs the world, is not a sane thought. Now, a machine may be put into a mode, the everything brain, but that's men and women agreeing to a machine. The machine itself can't impose a thing. I want us to remember that. We're allowing all this stuff that comes on us. Machines aren't doing anything. They don't, oh yeah, they can run kind of automatically. Now, everybody knows you don't run a robot without a cage. And it's going to be more and more important and almost troublesome to try and stop an AI within an internet system that you rely on with your life, that is also utilizing its models in order to make decisions for your life. And that's what they're actually talking about here. They're talking about your life in a machine, maybe Tron, without the Hollywood. You're in that machine, and this AI machine, what? It causes you to think there's a pandemic. It causes you to think there's a pestilence. It causes the pestilence because all of a sudden you can't go buy your food because your social credit's not good enough. That's what they're talking about here. So let's not underestimate what it's saying, even though could a machine actually do that? No, the machine is not going to impose these things at all. It'll be men and women that allow it upon themselves because they didn't do most basically the same thing I've been asking for a COVID swindle. Test whether the duty and obligation has been done. You have to maybe sit in a position of persecution, like the gentleman in Germany, to be able to have the standing as a victim of that system in order to say you needed to do a duty, you don't have jurisdiction. And watch the judge who was a part of that destruction have to back off and not make the decisions that would help the rest of the world. There's a big fight in Germany relative to these subject matters that were won in the four cases, and they understand that. This is a longer battle, and I understood that too. I want you to see that in that article, that if you go there and read that about what happened in Germany. This is a much better thought process in Germany going on about defending ourselves against these frauds in the world, these destructive ideas that Kissinger is identifying here in a side statement, talking about part of his contribution. He's still relevant because he brought China to where they are today. He's been around a long time, this guy. I'm trying to forget all this history. I certainly didn't appreciate it. I'm just having to come back to it. Why this guy's fascinating at all is that he's still around, and he's in on the same. He's focused. You want to know about success? Watch this guy. He's been focused in all his fingers in lots of stuff, but he's been focused on moving something forward all this time. Very interesting. And now he's submitting himself to AI. There's no artificial intelligence, folks. You just have to understand that. This is like a sophisticated if-then-else statement. And someone's learning how to do that really, really well. Yeah, they use math a bit, but the point is that if I've got two things and I've got to make a choice, which choice do I do? And if those aren't the right choices because of another third piece of information, I go elsewise. Now, that's a very, very, very simplistic view of what's going on. My point is that's all that's going on. It's logic gates, yes or no, or maybe the side shoot. And garbage in, garbage out, and the models are programmed by people. It's not a machine. Oh, we can get a machine to maybe make decisions on how the programming is, but we're finding out it's very flawed coding, very susceptible to hack, if you will, even itself. And we could give over to that. Again, I'm saying men and women are going to do that. It's not the machine. It's not AI that's going to impose these things. It's going to be the people that allow it to be imposed without a peep or a whimper. Not even rubbing your feet together like a cricket. Serbia disarms after mass shootings. So as we see the world dying around what's been going on in the last few years, I wanted to bring this up because this brings up an evolution of things relative to action or not action, relative to how important it is to look in the future and see what's coming after us today and what the examples are that we can pull from. As AI is going to cause pestilence, Kissinger says, and the pandemics, and you have to understand China wants that. They want sustainable development. Russia wants that. The United States wants that. The EPA is all about that. It's one of the pillars of the sustainable development. The bar associations want this stuff. The bar association was a contributor in the UN, particularly the knot tied in the barrel of a pistol in the plaza. They're all supportive of taking away your right to protect yourself, which we look out in the world in history says when you take away this right, those people become victims in great numbers, and death and destruction is their future. As we see Serbia disarms after mass shootings, the excuse for this, I think, is an object lesson for the United States. What we hear pounded in the United States over and over against these same Democrats, these same people that would say that they have, despite the Constitution to the contrary, that they have a right to infringe. And I'm going to show you we have a threat coming in the United States, a decision that came down just here after I get through this report to show we may not be too far from the conditioning of this over time. It's a lot longer than us, a lot longer. The memory here is a lot longer that keeps pressing than what will be alive. So this is the other problem. Serbia disarms after mass shootings. The excuse. Serbia President Aleksandar Vučić has commended citizens for turning in more than 10,000 guns in the first week of a month-long drive aimed at rounding up unlicensed firearms. He also promised, quote, repressive measures for anyone found with illegal weapons after the amnesty's end. So stick and carrot right there, social behavioral control right there, commending. if they had the digital system in place, you would have a green light, and anybody else who said something contrary would get a red light, and then you'd be repressively measured. This is the problem here now. We have to wonder whether or not what future may be held for the Serbians. Giving up their guns because some people died due to a killing with a gun. And how quickly the population will switch over to help out, like they did in Kobe Swindon. Help out. Save the old. Save the young. Save everybody. Do your part. And this is what we see. This is just an example here. A Serbia disarms after mass shootings. This is what they're pressing everywhere, especially the United States, for mass shootings. This is why you keep hearing it. They actually turned over almost 13,000 weapons. Right, just turn it right on over. And so we don't think that's a threat here. We have the Second Amendment right. We also know it's been under kind of a threat. You know, I'm pretty staunch on the fact that this is a protected interest before we got there, so why are we even having the question? However, the encroachment happens. You think it can't happen in the United States, but there's the first evidence that I think the porcelain on that might be cracking in face of watching populations that will just give over because of one mass shooting, as horrendous as that is, will give up their protection. And you have to understand what's going on over there in Serbia relative to the United States and the West and the fight. And what we've done over there is the United States to take out Serbia. Anyway, so here we have the United States. The United States Supreme Court leaves in place Illinois assault weapons ban. If you didn't think that there was an encroachment that could happen, this was the first evidence in my mind that it could. Not that they make laws and they get struck down. This is where the court itself said, no, we're going to leave that ban in place. And it's the ban of assault weapons, again, in quotes, like the COVID is in quotes, pandemic is in quotes. The court denied a request by the National Association for Gun Rights and Firearms Retailers for an injunction blocking enforcement of a state law in a similar ban enacted by another Chicago suburb, Naperville. While a legal challenge to the measure proceeds, no justice publicly dissented for the decision. How the Second Amendment, and there's going to be a constitutional amendment in the states, didn't protect the right to bear arms in its entirety, and how that Supreme Court can say that it can be conditioned on nothing more than a legislature's enactment that should be a violation on its face, I don't understand. What I can do tell you is the Supreme Court just allowed an infringement upon your right to bear arms. If you don't think that this little Serbia story where people are ready to give up their arms because some young people got killed or whatever the story is we hear, even though it's usually government fomented or it's usually for SSIs or mental illness, right? I mean, this is the other part about all this. The Supreme Court just protected an infringement. I think needs to be looked at very carefully as to the encroachment that's going on and how incremental it is and that it happens. And we know the history. I'm going to come to a tab here. We know the history of what happens when you have not enough protection. A bat-wielding U.S. man arrested after attacking two congressional staffers. I thought this was very interesting. All in the same week, while the number of threats of what law enforcement calls concerning statements against lawmakers have been decreased from their peak of 9,625 in 2021, Capitol Police still investigated over 7,500 such incidents in 2022. There was two staffers whose names have not been disclosed are currently in the hospital being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect is in police custody and has been identified as 49-year-old Duong K. Tran Pham, that Vietnamese maybe. Don't know why, folks. But we see Asians have been involved here a lot on this, and I don't know what that is. Maybe there's someone behind whispering in their ear. The staffers for U.S. Representative Connolly were hospitalized Monday after a man entered his district office and attacked two aides with a baseball bat. Well, folks, it's just time to outlaw baseball as we see the Supreme Court going ahead and infringing upon the Second Amendment right to bear arms in the capacity, the style of a gun, and the capacity of your gun. Remember, it's not about hunting the Second Amendment. It's about having the ability to stop a repressive government that steps outside the bounds. And I think we're getting the evidence now that we may need to use, that the government has absolutely, in my mind, no right to infringe or understand or register or keep track of at all. And we just saw the Supreme Court allow an infringement. That this baseball bat attack, no different than the argument given about having to control guns. We need to outlaw baseball and the promotion of baseball. Otherwise, I think we'll have an assault bat pandemic, the genes of which are going to be forever looked for. An assault bat pandemic is what's on the verge here if we don't outlaw baseball, as we take away every ability, because some people are nuts, have their own reasons, and now we have to get rid of everything that protects us. That's all still a cover, because that baseball bat is not going to protect us from an errant government to begin with. And are they so now that the Serbs gave up theirs, their arms are giving up under a repressive measures if you don't. What might befall them? We get a little evidence, and it's happens to be on an anniversary. And I didn't know what this term was, but had to educate myself real quick when I saw it, because it started coming up in the information as an anniversary date, and people were speaking of it. Nakba, apparently a Palestinian word. It means catastrophe. And I want you to understand something here. The catastrophe that King Charles wants to avoid, where climate change, you're causing climate change, and he wants to have militaristic style of attack. That catastrophe was lost on the British Empire during the 1948 Palestinian, they call it, exodus. Nakba means catastrophe. The Brits were involved with that catastrophe. Classified cables found the MEE revealed that the UK knew of mass killings and displacement of Palestinians in May of 1948, but downplayed them and refused to intervene. It's late April 1948 in Haifa, North Palestine. Understand how they're reporting here. It's not Israel. It's North Palestine. The place Zionists deny exists. Anyway, I'll just start reading here without too much interjection. This is the anniversary of the catastrophe for the Palestine. After more than 25 years, British officers are leaving their mandate over the territory and have set a withdrawal date of May 15th, that's 1948. The exit is not going smoothly. Ethnic cleansing and violent atrocities are taking place across areas Britain is about to vacate. Zionists, armed groups, allowed to flourish in Palestine by the British over three decades and subsequently trained and armed by the colonial power, are sweeping across Palestinian towns and villages, forcibly displacing residents from house to house. Palestinians put up some resistance, helped by nominal forces from neighboring countries, but are vastly outnumbered and under-equipped. Britain states that it is remaining neutral. Remember the Balfour Declaration, which is actually an inverse of what it was really intended to be. Remember, this is a catastrophe for Palestine. But the King of England did not reference that he wants to avoid. In fact, it's the cause while they're claiming neutrality. It's the same thing that's going on in Ukraine. Nakba, the catastrophe to Palestine, is not a catastrophe sufficient of note, more than a neutrality statement by Britain. It is the open wound in this world relative to the crown and the control that has happened in history relative to the UK. This is an ongoing wound. This is a place, an interesting statement made here by the UN, marking the 1948 Palestinian exodus. The first ever Nakba commemoration comes on the 75th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel, they call it. The UN Nations on Monday marked the displacement of Palestinian Arabs from what is now Israel. For the first time in the world's body's history, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas headlined the event, which was condemned by Israel and the United States. Interestingly, it wasn't condemned by Britain, even though they promoted a neutrality that they caused. Again, they don't want to be pointed out again. 1948, an estimated 700,000 Palestinians left their homes. That's what we were told was going to be the invasion from the southern border. But 700,000 Palestinians left their homes. We were told that was more than some of the states of the Union's population. They left their homes or were forced out, in some cases, and amid a war between the newly declared state of Israel and the surrounding Arab states. In the Arab world, the event is known as Nakba, or catastrophe. The catastrophe to the Palestinian people is still ongoing. The Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, told AP on Monday, despite multiple UN resolutions to that effect, the Palestinian is still not an independent state, while the estimated 5 million descendants of the displaced don't have a right to return. I want to just touch this catastrophe and this term exodus. Why don't we look at the word migrate? And the exodus, which we would think would be a place to go to, is supposed to be, on migration, a singular place. You just heard that the Palestinians are spread across, their diaspora is spread across the earth. It's not the kind of exodus that I think the UN should use. This was more an invasion. This displaces what actually happened. Britain was involved with allowing an invasion. They actually set up inside the area of Palestine, the territory of Palestine, an insurgent group of Zionists. We're now continually told this is not about Jews. This is about a political movement. And the Palestinian people were undermined by their inability to have material to fight back. Is what I'm wondering what's happening to Serbia, and now we get a little encroachment by the Supreme Court to allow an infringement on the type of weapon you use and capacity of that weapon when you may be up against an insurgent group that's been developed by your government inside, and then you're not able to fight back when it's time. Is, I think, a history lesson we can get, as I've said. The open-air prison of Gaza is just a microcosm of the United States of America. And essentially, it's of the globe itself. Our whole earth is like this. Report during Nakba, to show how heinous these folks are, these Zionists are, and the neutrality that the UK, the catastrophe that the Crown of England didn't want to look at. While today they wanted to use the catastrophe to attack the catastrophe that they claim the you are against the earth and nature is going to be done by a military style. Should be that other record. That's what they did to the Palestinians. The Haaretz newspaper reveals here that during the Nakba, Ben-Gurion ordered the Palestinian wells be poisoned to prevent Palestinians from returning home. Just that title alone and hearing that Britain, the British government made a position of neutrality, and they knew this was going on as a violation. This is war crimes. Over and over and over. Always, Britain is involved in war crimes. If you don't think the King of England right now is willing to do that warlike action against you, and that he's got some influence over other nations, like the United States and all the Commonwealths, the leaders of which take an oath of fealty to him till today, you don't think it matters, go read that article about the prerogative powers. Prerogative powers sit before everybody in force and effect. The Haaretz newspaper revealed that during the Nakba, Ben-Gurion ordered the Palestinian wells to be poisoned to prevent people from return. We heard that they couldn't. Well, they didn't want them back there. They poisoned the wells. Completely a violation of international law. So international law violations, the rules-based order, has been going on for a long time. The very same thing that Russia and China wants to stop is this thing right here against everybody. Which puts them on a little bit of a pedestal the way they're doing it, but don't let it sound like here I'm going to back that up because it's all the future we want and it's not our future, it's their future. Even so, wells in Acre, Gaza, Beersheba, Jericho, Galilee, Bedouin, and Jerusalem were poisoned. Zionist gangs spread germs that caused typhus and dysentery. The paper revealed the existence of documents that officially confirmed that Israel poisoned Palestinian water wells in Acre and Gaza in 1948. Dysentery and typhus sounds just like the Holocaust, supposedly, in Germany. Also the bio lab in Ukraine and all these endless diseases that go on. If we look at it a little bit more expansive, that these Zionists and these people that support Zionism are willing to do to people. and take a neutrality to that. And the crown is sitting right there to do that. If you don't understand the connection, how heinous and evil this really is, and what's been allowed to happen to other people, and I keep telling you, the microcosm of Gaza, and you don't understand you're in an open-air prison, is your future. It may not happen overnight, and you may not see an Israel bombing you with jets. You're going to watch your life turn into nothingness over a very long time, if you live that long. Your sons and daughters will certainly see certain lots of disabilities. If we didn't understand how we watch back now, our 100 years here, our generations are watching the fulfillment of the creation of the Fed and what's gone on over time in economy, and the very same attack going on all this time to move people about and get them under control. History is being made on this day as we watch the Arab world, as I've been saying to you, really, and instigated by Russia, and I don't mean instigated in a bad way. They finally had enough, and I told you that was happening. The Arab world is coagulating itself because it's realizing what's going on, and to continue, like I've been suggesting, to be crickets, to not act against or to not come together mutual aid, is agreeing to your oppression. And I said, watch how this starts to work. And we're seeing now, and I said, whenever you see somebody saying history is being made, or this is the first time something's happened, or whatever, start paying attention to that, because that's, in our time, an earth-moving point, if you will. The history is being made relative to what we're watching, the Zionists being given a neutral attitude toward committing war crimes all these years. The nations that we're talking about that were there to try and fight Israel, that Israel had been built up for over a decade to become very powerful to defend themselves, is the same nations now coming back to say, we've had enough. And history is being made today, as I was suggesting in the news, coming on, is now being brought together where the Arabs are pulling back together. And they're doing it for their own sake. The mutual aid, as I said, look at the sovereigns in the world to understand why those of us in the United States are going to have to, each one of us as a nation and under ourselves, again with limits and with our borders, that we are going to have to come in mutual aid of each other as a people. And until we figure that out, I don't know how we get much more than what Zionists are doing to the Palestinians today. The Nakba is today for the Palestinian. The catastrophe is not over. President Assad, though, is in Saudi Arabia to participate in the Arab League summit after 12 years of Arab boycott. Arab countries are neglecting Western warnings and threats against those who normalize with Damascus. A new era has begun, and I've been saying this was coming and going to happen, has to happen, and the shift of power, not knowing how they're going to protect everything yet, but they're coalescing together to protect each other, is very important. Their own protection mechanism, contrary to what the United States is wanting. We now have evidence that it wasn't just talk, that the Arab world is coming together. As indicated, CASS, according to Lebanese analysis, Nadal Sabi, quote, the summit meeting in Jeddah will go down in history as a summit of consolidation of Arab ranks, despite pressure from the United States and the West, which tried to prevent President Bashar al-Assad to participate in it. The King of Jordan, Abdullah II, also places great hopes on the meetings of the leaders of the Arab League. The Jeddah summit will mark the beginning of a new period of joint Arab action on a solid foundation of economic integration. Follow the money, folks. It's all about that. It's all about how that works in the world. The money, so suppose. Here, the work between each other in providing for each other. Our peoples will have a unique opportunity to change living conditions in this region, which has paid a heavy price, conflicts, and tensions, declared the monarch. Again, another king there. They're moving themselves together. It's a historic move, what goes on. Bashar was looked as a pariah. He stood strong, and he's been defending himself, certainly with the help of Russia, and now that he can't be denied. And I have to say, for the Arab, for the Syrian people, more power to him at this point, because, again, as we watch, the influence that the conflicts and tensions are created by are the same people that Britain would put a neutral look to while they poison others. the same type of action that's going on in Ukraine. Are these the people that you cannot you can't complain about? Are these the people that run the world behind the scenes? I can't not think that that's the case that's going on. We talked last week, and this is supposed to be under cover of a religion, the Jews, and I could keep telling, no, it's a Zionist. They even agree that they're the Zionists. They have parties that do that. It's a political movement that came under the color of a religious state and also then the democratic state. And it's all nothing but another fraud. And they'll kill anybody who says no, contrary to them. And there's no minimum evil that they'll do in order to make what happens. Cannot be a peaceful world. The same very thing that forced after 12 years, 13 going on here, the Arab world to consolidate its efforts and mutually come together and not allow one of its own Arab states being submitted to this oppression. We see also then, in like kind across the association on the other side with Israel and the United States, I was talking about the Hindu attacking the Christian tribals in India, brought up Israel doing that to the Palestinian Christians, and brought up the Ukraine Orthodoxy, and we think it's over there. I keep saying that we think it's over there. No, it's over here in the United States. In an interesting little story, it pops up. I don't even know how I came across this to even go down, but the last paragraph is what I was interested in. I'm going to read the title. Migrant village for conservative Americans to be built in Russia, says a lawyer. Thousands of Westerners want to flee, quote, radical liberal values, close quote, a Russian immigration attorney claims. Construction of the American village, in quotes, American village for 200 families of conservative immigrants will start in Moscow region by 2024. That's according to a Moscow-based immigration attorney. And I'm wondering if this is not somebody Tim Kirby, maybe. He's doing something, I think, along those lines over there. But basically, they are Orthodox Christians, Americans and Canadians, who, for ideological reasons, want to move to Russia. Ideological reasons. Why would you move into Russia? But you are, see? And this is the interesting convolution of a position, and the thing I don't understand about, if you understand about what Christian faith, and you understand where this thing goes, how you would move for that to Russia when Russia is not implementing the same thing is a question to me. However, let me go point out the internal instrumentalities of the United States government are a part of causing that exodus, if I can use it. An FBI memo made public in February referred to radical traditionalist Catholic believers as potential, quote, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, close quote. The FBI makes up stuff, identifies, again, Orthodox here. Traditional Catholic, not the Western. We saw that distinction last week. I talked about that. The United States is doing exactly and agreeing exactly what's going on in Ukraine relative to the Orthodoxy. But the Orthodox, the traditional Catholic, is saying, I want to get the heck out of here and go to Russia, where they embrace them. After 19 Republican state attorneys demanded the federal government to stop its anti-Catholic bigotry, the FBI disavowed the document. Again, it's happening in the United States. It's a religious war going on, and only one-sided as well. And keep track of all that. The FBI has probably never been our friend in a way. The promotion, perception management. But this week has been especially eye-opening for those that maybe didn't have another thought. And it does take time, and it does take proof, and it takes a bunch of people that are interested to get down to the truth. And so I want to go through a very, very talk historic thing going on. I'm not quite sure where it ends up going. This is a follow-through problem as well. But let's expose the FBI being involved, been key to destruction of this country, watching, suppose like we see here, the drills, setting up people to go do things, and they do it, and we find out they're mentally unstable, they're on Medicaid, SSRIs, they're amenable, they're fed up, and they're being exploited by an FBI, with Federal Bureau of Investigation, you'd think would be on the receiving end of information, not like a domestic CIA. where they're actually destroying, allowing the destruction of other countries, supposedly in the national interest. The FBI is targeting traditional Catholics. They're feeling the heat. They're going to run to Russia. What an embarrassment for us in America, just generally. We don't hear too much about that. But the FBI leadership sabotaged Clinton Foundation investigation. This report, this Durham report, this investigator commissioned to do a report on the Trump-Russia collusion, supposed, came out with this report. And we're now focusing on this instrumentality in the United States called the Federal Bureau of Investigation and how it's politicized. And we know it shouldn't be, but it has been, to such a degree that I'm not so sure how this nation actually comes out of it. How do you continue moving forward? That we see the political ramifications terribly here right up front, and we need to take stock. I'm not much into the politics side of this. I think it's all done. We're toast. And so I just know that that's there, and so I don't have much of a deep dive to do for myself, but this is a big deal. This is a historic, this is the more historic than watching the Arabs come together to defend themselves against ourselves, we, the United States, and the Zionists. Within the context of this is that, too. Remember the Clinton Foundation, which took millions of foreign donations when everyone thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the 2006 U.S. election, only to see donations plummet by 90% after she lost? Now we learn, thanks to the Durham report, that the FBI had three concurrent investigations into the Clinton Foundation, which were shut down during the 2016 year by top brass. I find that interesting, top brass. It's, I thought, typically relating to military, but neither here nor there, just an observation. We're finding out the FBI leadership, and then those that actually took it on to do it were not living up to their oath, not living up to the integrity. We're going to get to that. This is why somebody at the end here starts to discuss this problem we have in this country, why it's going to be so difficult for us. We're not helpless, and there's some motion to stop it, but we need to come to terms with what this Durham report says. What it also does not say is almost as striking and as concerning as well, what it doesn't go after. The Durham report, what we know so far, and we can go through this list, a bombshell report exposing the Federal Bureau of Investigation rotting and nixing the claim that the investigation into the alleged Trump-Russia collusion was well predicated, has finally made it public, and essentially it turns out that there was no support for any of it. We need to go through and read for all this. The conduct in 2016 and 2017 that the special counsel Durham examined was the reason that the current FBI leadership already implemented dozens of corrective actions, which have now been placed in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in the report could have been prevented, the FBI official statement said. So this is out of the people that got fingered for doing the crime. They say they put some corrective measures. This is the very end paragraph. But you go through in the top of this, as you're going back through and looking through the list of headings and reading through it, what the problems were on this. And you come to the one that says that they threw out their own rules. But there's a dual justice system treating Hillary with kid gloves, as we saw the first story talked to. Talking on a situation where they were supposed to invest election fraud, if you interference. Forget the Russian side at this point. They weren't even going, they were fomenting the domestic side. And you find out they threw the rules out. The FBI overview threw agency rules down the drain, as it says in its title here. And you have to start to understand what we're talking about, what I talk about here, when you don't go to the objective basis and you allow these people to run on and not be accountable. You start to watch what they did to people in Coby Swindle. This is happens to be just what a corrupt agency, they call it law enforcement, happens to show us what it can do behind the scenes. I don't even know the words that can show how immensely important it is to understand how terrible and horrible this is relative to what we thought this nation was. If we have a thought about what America would be or what it could be or how we're going to get from where we thought it was to where it's going to go, if this, given this is the fact, how do we move from here through elections? How do you move from here to not know what's still going on? How do you know what went on? If they're not going to continue to talk and they're the culprits, how do you get the accountability? What will be the accountability, actually? You just don't make laws to make accountability. they already told you in this report, and it's in the report itself, all the rules went down the drain. What more rules do you make? This report is so damning, so condemning upon the entirety of the system. I don't even know where to begin with it all, and I may not even be aware enough to be able to hit it all. I wouldn't spend the time on the broadcast I can. Better, you can do it faster and come to your own conclusions. And we have a big deal to discuss within ourselves about a lot of this. Three individuals spied on the Trump campaign. FBI failed to uphold its mission of strict fidelity to law. Now, that's crime. That's what criminals. How do you impose more law? That's the end statement of this whole article. They imposed rules that are in order. What were they? They won't say. And the Durham report does not conclude any rule could happen because of that. It also does not speak to another agency that is in part impartial to all this, the CIA. So there's a big failures about this report as well, even though it exposes a whole lot of lawlessness and a lack of accountability and the ability to get accountability, which I think is our major point. But this report, you can go through, there's 306 pages or 9 pages of it, extensive report, now public record, for us to see how bad the government really is, not an opinion. What we do about it, I'm not quite so sure. What we can do locally, I'm not quite so sure. But I think it's indicative of all governments. And I think we know that instinctually. I think inside we know that. And it's part of the silent problem, part of the problem I can't get at behind the woodshed. We do what we think we can do. We make our records. We look for accountability, and it's not available. People who take oaths to uphold the law, like the sheriff, won't. Like, we got plenty of proof of that. But remember, FBI, the FBI came on our radar, Jefferson Mining District, when they came after our chairman for saying that we would do a citizen's arrest where the officials were going to violate the law. The FBI demanded to see the chairman, which he met them at a parking lot. Restaurant parking lot, and they threatened him, and he said, but you can't threaten me with that because we have the right to make citizens arrest. And they go, no, you don't. And so he popped out that law for the state and showed them how stupid they were. Literally, they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. This was on a subject matter of obligation and duty to the law by the officials. The FBI attacked us, the witnesses and victims of that abuse, instead of going after who they then found out was doing that abuse, the law, we had the right to do it. Happened back around 2011, 2012, 2013, somewhere in there, to put the FBI on the radar that this is a corrupt organization at the core. It implements the very foreign attack that I complain about here, behind which I point out to you, we can look around the world to see. That this report finally comes out to give us more evidence of the fact. And we may finally see a movement, and I don't know what the ramifications end up being, the shakeup that starts with the type of information that comes out when you have objective reports and investigations that go on. The America is sorely missing, and allowing and driving this nation to allow people to make bad decisions and do things in the world that we see is Ukraine. We see is Israel, that we see is the United States itself against its own people, the Kobe swindle. What comes out of this report is very important, and people are taking advantage of it, even though it's politically motivated, is interesting as well. From this report, another culprit is identified. The one promoting the Trump-Russia hoax, Representative Adam Schiff, comes apparent for all the lies that he's done. And a House-breaking House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, has called for the immediate expulsion and possible prosecution of Representative Adam Schiff for committing crimes of treason against the United States. And this precipitates a whole lot more coming out of they call them firebrands and MAGA representatives and coming out to ask for now accountability. Very interesting, the framing of this. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy considers removing serial liar Adam Schiff from Congress after Durham report released. A series of articles now coming. The ramifications of these reports is immense. I think if there's a time to give support to get these criminals out of office, you can do that much. You might be able to write a letter, even though, see, they got momentum now. We can take advantage of this momentum. For those of you that know more to say better about this, move it along. Also show out, you know, what I keep suggesting to you, got the law, the 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. Once they found out, once McCarthy found out, he's obligated to send this to or do whatever it takes in order to law the justice be done. Don't forget those powers. You can include those in your letters. When McCarthy ejects Schiff and Solwell from the Intelligence Committee, it did that back in January to show you this was on the tap coming in. There's a shakeup going on. Whether or not this is actually going to happen, I don't know. But at least now we see some motion where accountability of some sort, maybe not enough, and that's one of the complaints, but of some sort is beginning. Representative Anna Pauline Luna introduces resolution to expel Adam Schiff from Congress. This is historic stuff, folks. I'm not sure where it goes, where the teeth actually come because of the balance of power within the parties. But those that step up to embrace the criminal, where it can be a probable cause to be a crime, are in violation themselves of those 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 statutes. And so this could become a big snowball rolling down the hill if people help the representatives moving this forward, or the senators that might move this forward, to give force and effect. Don't take your opinion that they're wrong. Go find the facts in these documents that show that they did wrong. Bring that as your probable cause to say, here, now you know, representative, especially if they're a Democrat. And if you don't act to get this resolved, you're going to be hit for misprision, aiding and abetting these crimes of treason. So Representative Anna Pauline Luna on Wednesday introduced a resolution to expel Democrat Adam Schiff from Congress. Big deal here. I've never heard of such a thing. All together as well, and they're going to diminish who's doing this. These are the firebrands of MAGA. Folks, if they've got objective basis, and I'm not even making that decision, they've got an objective basis for what they're doing, that there's a crime been going on, a treason in particular, they are required. Get past the firebrand, get past MAGA. They're required by the law. Everybody is. In order to make these allegations, if with probable cause, not your opinion, the facts. Marjorie Taylor Greene, what spins out of this report is just fascinating. What spins out of a objectively made report, and this would be in any subject matter, even down to your Covey swindle, the report that showed that there was an infectious agent that they determined by non-fraudulent means, it's the same point here. Marjorie Taylor Greene, though, moves on this Durham report and announces impeachment articles against President Biden, as well as Attorney General Merrick Garland, the FBI Director Christopher Wray, and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And how much of that's political, I don't know. The point is this gave impetus. It gave probable cause. And I'm saying that they can stand more than the titles the media gets them, like a firebrand congresswoman they show in this article. Then you stand on the law, and you are obligated. The law requires these representatives do this. If you can help support that. I've never seen such a thing. So this is another potential that we can move forward with, hopefully, on the energy of people that took an interest to do so, as your representative, if we can go ahead and embrace that part. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican of Georgia, has introduced articles of impeachment against President Biden. It's a quote, and more people, as I mentioned before, quote, it's the highest amount of solemnity that I announce my intention to introduce articles of impeachment today on the head of this America at last executive branch that has been working since January 20th, 2021 to systematically destroy this country, the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, Green said at the press conference Thursday. If this is in the law, she is required. I want that support to be given to her, even though politically, I think most of this stuff is a lot of yak, yak, yak. This is probably the first time we've had evidence to be able to go after people that have really caused a serious amount of trouble. And these are some of the people, and these are only some of them, that have caused our systemic trouble that leads us into this foreign attack. which was we call the great, we can identify as that Great Reset. We can identify as the subversion of local law and local law enforcement, and it's through, again, these are a lot of these folks are attorneys as well. It's all through that, those mechanisms. So what comes out of this is this report against the only the FBI is pretty stunning, that we can get some motivation in people to actually do something. What may not go far enough, and just after the head of the FBI there, Director Christopher Wray, we see the news here, the FBI reveals 8,000 unjustified searches of Americans' communications. So it doesn't end with just taking out a few people. There's more work to do. The FBI conducted thousands of queries on digital data collected in the United States citizens in 2021, 2022, despite having no warrant and no justification under FBI's own rules. But remember, these are also employees, not just the head, because Marjorie Taylor Greene may go after the head of the FBI. These are employees that are throwing out their own rules. These are criminals inside the organization. We cannot make more rules to fix this. Accountability must come. It must come quickly. How that happens is apparently not through the people. We've been complaining loud enough. So there may be more work to be done with folks like Representative Green. Maybe Matt Gaetz. Maybe others. McCarthy himself. Audit. FBI had insufficient justification for January 6th surveillance searches. An FBI audit found that agencies had insufficient justification for two FISA searches related to January 6th Capitol violence. The FBI Office of Internal Auditing released their routine audit evaluating the compliance with the FISA Act. How? And moving on, we have more here. Not just the corruption of the FBI that they even asked, insufficient justification. Where were the attorneys of the J6 to question the search the warrants? Where was the challenge? It's not done by the Bar Association, apparently. The things I've been telling you up front, you got to challenge everything. This is a much bigger problem, folks. I don't even know what to say. You start to watch this thing roll out. What can come from here and expose to everyone, finally, is immense. Like I thought maybe Kobe swindle would. You're going to watch officials be derelict right down to your local communities. You're going to watch it. They're going to take a bribe. They're going to turn the other way. They're not going to do a thing, and they're going to impose upon you, and you're going to take it. And you did. And yet we come just, and this is pretty short coming back. No insufficient justification for two searches. Why don't we hear that in the court cases, and that we hear the judges saying, oh, that can't fly? Representative Gaetz, defang and defund them. And how do we do that? Yeah, the purse is part of the answer. Problem is we have politics as well. But there's got to be a vote on this. But the purse is interesting in the time of debt ceiling, isn't it? Maybe there's more impetus to say, yeah, let's just cut them back. It's time just to cut them back. U.S. Rep. Matt Gaetz is demanding the FBI agents be fired and indicted after the Durham report was released, concluding that the agency should never have gone after former President Trump in the first place in a move widely seen as a blatant political persecution, much less the J6 where there's insufficient cause. Same thing. You know them when you see them. You know them by what they done. The firebrand conservative stated that the FBI, see, the firebrand conservative, like he wants to diminish or whatever, promote that. It is irrelevant. But that's what they state here. The firebrand conservative stated the FBI should be defanged and defunded. He called the actions of the agency ugly. It's at least ugly. If it's treason, it's way ugly. It's criminal. The Durham report is absolutely damning treaties on the weaponization of the FBI against President Trump. This should be a clarion call for the legislative reform. We need to defund and deauthorize government entities that are converted from the just cause of defending our nation into enforcement wings of political parties. Well, we've been seeing that since 2010, Mr. Representative Gaetz, so you got a long way to go, and your rhetoric isn't going to do anything. For as much as I agree, and I agree that things have to be done. But we can cut the purse, can't we? We can start looking at all the things we don't want to pay for, and the representatives would be supported here to say if we continue to fund it, we'd be committing the same aiding and abetting misprision, felony and treasons if we pay money to allow these things to go on would be another thing you add to your representative in the Congress, and against even if they're a Democrat, to say, if you vote to vote for this, you're in misprision and felony for advancing these crimes that the FBI agents are doing. Can we put a little bit of stuff together to make some pressure on these Democrats that want to continue that? And I don't know that the Republicans are out of it, but we have a firebrands that are moving forward to at least take some objective basis and move forward with it based on one report. Can you imagine one report, what one report did and what others might be? The unspoken warning in the Durham report, American self-government is collapsing. And I think this is a neat insight. Again, it brings up virtues and things that we have lost. And I think I wanted to add this, that we need a higher thing moving at this point. People have to come together to identify with this report how some of these, and there's only some of them because they don't speak about others, how we're going to get at the rest is going to be the ongoing thing. It doesn't happen overnight either. What the people have allowed to come on them is now evidenced, and it's not going to stop. All of this doesn't stop. It's going down the same path. It becomes a foreign outcome. And that's the problem here. Our American self-government, if there is such a thing, see, the government is self-governing right now, but it's a rules-based order that they violate. Okay, that's how they're doing it. There's no law and there's no accountability, even though everybody is accountable to identifying a crime. Once they see it, turn it over to someone who then has the obligation to do something with it, or they become a misprision, the aider and abettor of that same crime. For all of FBI's blatant partisanship, its disregard of exculpatory evidence, and its outright deception to secure FISA warrants on the Trump campaign associates, what should terrify the country is not the catalog of malfeasance the special counsel recited for mistakes and even gross failures to be corrected, but the Durham warned of corrupted hearts and minds unfaithful to the people and their constitution. For this part, Durham didn't recommend any changes to the FBI's guidelines or policies because no amount of reform will be sufficient if the people in the charge feel free to disregard guidelines and policies whenever they see fit to do so. As such, wrote Durham, quote, the answer is not the creation of new rules, but renewed fidelity to the old. The promulgation of additional rules and regulations to be learned is yet more training sessions would likely prove to be fruitless exercise if the FBI's guiding principle of fidelity, bravery, and integrity are not ingrained in the hearts and minds of those sworn to meet the FBI's mission of protecting the American people and upholding the Constitution of the United States. And this is a problem for me when I read it, because what has happened over decades is this inculcation of the foreign attack that's going on in your university system. All these folks, and any of these folks that are attorneys, are ingrained. Why they got to this is because they're ingrained with that. Their allegiance is outside of these aspirations. And I have to say they had to be aspirations because they failed. They weren't written in stone and immediate accountability when they were failed. And so that gets at the heart of the matter. And it goes on to a little bit more, but we can read it. You can find out we're missing the aspiration that brought us into what we were as America and distinct in the world. What wasn't spoken in the Durham report, which highlighted by a CIA vet, Durham report exposes U.S. deep state corruption is what this is. And what was not spoken to is the CIA's contribution. And I'm not saying he had to. What I'm saying is that we look at the FBI that's doing with that. We miss the CIA. And remember, they're all looking at inside us. Remember, the Patriot Act doesn't make a distinction. The special counsel John Durham report helped expose the FBI's corruption, thus curtailing the intelligence community's ability to interfere with U.S. politics, according to Larry Johnson, a veteran of the CIA and the State Department Office of Counterterrorism. That was what pointed me back. Well, this report doesn't show that the CIA was involved. Remember, this is about Trump collusion. This would have been foreign. The CIA should have been involved in it. But what we have inside here, we have the continuing harm the CIA does. CIA backs monsters and radicals to sow global chaos, former PSYOPs officer says. And so you got to start tying together. If they're willing to reach out in order to claim a foreign government's affecting us and then attack a candidate, they're willing to go out and affect other countries as well. And we are seeing that paid for as well, that you can give support to that type of corruption to diminish, to reduce the demand on this debt ceiling and the cost of the federal government. We now have power here as we start to move this thing through. A CIA officer recognizes the problems that the Durham report exposes. Well, it's upon the CIA too. Hall lamented the U.S. institutions which claimed to champion democracy has been the, quote, the Frankenstein doctors that have created the monstrosity. That's the self-inflicted wound I talk about all the time. The United States does that, and the taxpayer, by the budget, pays for it. I think gives some of you that have a better mind on how to pull these facts together and where the money went to do this, how to go tell the representative they better not continue to fulfill this thing, this monstrosity that's been allowed to come up without any check or balance. And what about the CIA? What are we going to be looking for? The corruption of the CIA doesn't be exposed, but we know it's happening and systemic corruption is going on, and the CIA foments political turmoil globally. Does it do it at home? And this little story pops up. Can't know here, folks, but this is a little concerning, actually, especially with all the so-called sabotage that looks like it's going on. California officials investigating loss of 30-ton shipment of explosive chemicals. It's just fertilizer, but it's that regulated stuff now. Remember, they did that to us, too. Took away our fertilizer because somebody can use it as a bomb. 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate, a chemical used as both a fertilizer and a component explosives, went missing as it shipped by rail from Wyoming to California last month, prompting four separate investigations. Was the CIA involved in that? Is it ready to create some other new catastrophe for us to focus on? Is it part of the electioneering of politics? That's also terrorism if you're affecting the politics by violent means. And I would say breaking the law is a violence to the law. So maybe I'd go there as well. But we now have lost 60,000 pounds of fertilizer explosive, apparently, and no one knows where it went. Was a little concerning to me relative to the CIA recognizing the FBI has been corrupt and what it exposed, but the CIA is not being fingered, and they're the ones that go around the world causing it all. And by the same methods that we noticed the British were neutral to, and the catastrophe that was created by the Crown oversaw then, that all of a sudden now the catastrophe of so-called climate change is worse, that it's willing to hurt people globally, kill people for its political ends. I hope something that I said today brings an awareness of some sort, expands the scope of what we might be up against, maybe gives us a little bit of hope. We do have some things we can work on right now. There is some objective evidence now to start causing some motion if we felt helpless before. Some more, as I keep bringing behind the woodshed. I hope you can utilize the information and make it to move the part that you are skilled in forward. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.